Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. And I'm checking the calendar just to make sure. Yes, welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm sitting in for Ewan today because he decided that it would be a lot more fun to just sit in the mobile command center in the middle of London instead of hanging out with us, which in his defense, I can appreciate that because the mobile command center is pretty cool. Ewan won't be able to join us tomorrow unless there's a surprise, and which means that the mobile command center isn't stuck in the middle of London again. So we'll be back tomorrow without his adult supervision, and which means we should probably apologize up front to Ewan for anything that happens on the show, and yet we won't. There's an awesome panel with us today, and I'll just kind of go around the corners on my screen and start with Rich. How are you, Rich?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I'm having a fun day installing new internet.
That's always a fun day. And when I say fun day, I typically mean frustrating day.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. It wasn't as bad as yesterday with no internet, which you think... Oh, that'll be fine. I can do a day. I'll just watch broadcast television. And then you try and turn the lights off and they won't turn off. So you have to get you try and remember how they work. There are switches on the walls, apparently. Near the doors.
Wait, switches?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not shouting out into the air and having things happen. That was, you know, I miss that.
But so you truly back to were living now. Like an animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caveman, not animal.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching Freeview channels, which what? I don't know. Do you know, I'm old enough that I still feel like Freeview is a new thing, and I can't remember when it came out, but I get the feeling it was a disturbingly long time, like 25 years ago. And yeah, well, just makes me feel old.
We'll go with it's a new thing.
Yeah, it's probably a new thing.
Yeah, it's a new thing.
I remember when we got Channel 5. That was a fun time.
Was that like the History of Cheese channel?
It was literally the fifth television channel.
Yeah.
So there was still a lot of stuff to put on. And yet they put Keith Chegwin on naked, didn't they? That was weird.
I can remember Channel 4 coming online.
Yeah, I can, that one too.
Wow, you're old.
I was a lot younger for that one, but I do remember that.
But between the programs, they had no adverts, so they just put nothing on and then put the program back on. So it took a while before they got adverts.
Wow. So, kids, what we're saying is if you want to hear tales of the horrible times when we rode dinosaurs, the world was still in black and white, and there were only 5 channels on television, and you had to get up and go turn a dial on the television to switch between them because your dad wouldn't get up off the couch.
And the television didn't just show you what you wanted to see.
Right, and you couldn't watch when you wanted. You had to watch when it told you. Go talk to your parents. They'll tell you about the horrible stone knives and bearskin days of television before the internet.
When I was a child, there's only 3 channels.
Wow.
Now there's 500 channels of shite.
No, it's more than 500. There's
still nothing on. That's it.
Yeah.
Probably in the thousands.
Most of them are duplicates going either what, plus or minus at 1 hour. And some channels you don't want to even watch, even if you wanted to watch them. Ugh, whatever.
Well, on a happy note, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's relatively cool this week here, so hence the long sleeves.
Wow.
I mean, it's like 60s Fahrenheit, so it's at like 14, 15 degrees, something like that, during the day.
So, yes.
Cold.
Yeah.
For summer, for August, it's relatively cold. But I'm actually enjoying it, so I'm not complaining. For me, it's fine.
It sounds like wonderful weather to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, could be a little bit more sunny. It does rain quite a bit, but I don't. As I said, I don't care. Like, I'll just take my umbrella and go outside. So,
but no floods, right?
Not recently. No, there have been like some. There have been some storms that caused them like more like flash floods locally, but nothing too major. Not recently.
Excellent.
So you took Rella on the dance floor.
Oh, speaking of Rella. Once again, Ewan, I apologize for the show.
I think Jeff, you're just gonna apologize the entire show.
Yes, just periodically, I will just interject an apology, and while it may seem like a non sequitur, it's not. Yeah. So anyhow, Muller, how are you?
I'm fine. I spent yesterday putting salt on slugs.
You're just out of control, man.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Because it's been raining. Good? No, they're getting really big, but you put some salt on them, they explode. They're really good. It's one's just a great big slime mess on the path now.
We don't have slugs here, so this is not something that I'm familiar with.
But I'm very disappointed with the hedgehogs because they normally eat them, but obviously this one was too big for him.
Yeah, Jeff, the reason why you don't have slugs is because your trash pandas eat them.
This explains so much.
It's like trash panda barbecue.
But don't put salt on them because they go like they curl up and go all like they just disappear like a liquid mess.
That's so weird. It's I'm trying to imagine the process in my mind, like. Is their skin that permeable?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It just like it just removes all the liquids from the slug and it just dies.
Yeah. Osmosis.
Wow.
I did have a snail and I entered him into a race and I took his shell off, but it made him more sluggish.
Oh my God.
Do you want to go wait in the car for the rest of the show?
I think you should.
Wow. Ewan, I apologize on behalf of you. Okay. Who has the first story?
Let's see.
No one. No one has a story. Oh, it's Rich.
Nope, Rich.
All right, so Rich, your story from The Verge, Windows 11 now has its first beta release. And you are muted.
Hey!
I coughed earlier and then forgot that I coughed. Right, I'm back. Windows 11 came onto the beta channel. You might want to write this time code down. There's going to be some swearing. So I was just happily doing my work the other night and had reached a save point and I thought I'll go and have a little break, go and get a drink and a biscuit, that kind of thing. And a little alert popped up in the corner of my computer screen saying, hey, we've got an update ready for you. Can we restart? And I thought, okay, why not? I'll go and get a drink. You do a restart. I'll come back and carry on. And I did that and came back and Windows 11 was on my computer. And
didn't tell you what it was installing.
It said it would be a bigger than normal update. If it said it would be Windows 11, I missed that. I'm not going to go outright accusing Microsoft of like putting it on in a nefarious way. And I, of course, had selected voluntarily, apparently, to be on the beta channel on the Windows update. I had forgotten all about it because they'd said, you know, they published the system requirements for Windows 11, and apparently I have a AMD 2700X processor, which is apparently just a generation too old. So I kind of thought, well, it's not going to come. And then it came, and now it's here. And I'm living with it. Now, there was a time when I would have said that Windows 10 was the best version of Windows that Microsoft have ever made. And I'm sticking with that because, oh, God.
I mean, to be fair, it's a beta, but...
Right. Okay. The things I'll let off for it being a beta are things like a bit of instability, something not working right, something like that. The rest of it is upsetting me to an alarming degree. The new start menu is horrible. It's really making me angry. And the fact that there's nothing I can do about it. They had a start menu where I could arrange all of the apps I used on this lovely grid. And I would click start and then I would click the icon of the app that I wanted to use. And they thought, that's too easy. He's getting it too easy. We need layers of menus. We need scrolling. We can't just put buttons in front of the user where they know where they are. So let's have this start menu in the middle of the screen that only shows a select number of pinned apps in no particular order. We'll let them drag them around and take ages over that. For no reason, but we'll do that. And then if they get too many, rather than making the window bigger like we used to, we'll put scrolling in. They need scrolling. And they can indeed just take their hands off the mouse to go and type in a search because that's easier than just clicking something. And while they're doing that, let's give them this list of recommended things that they can't get rid of and will never recommend anything remotely useful.
That really sounds like there was like a designer and developer. They got together and they're like, okay, so how can we make Rich the angriest way possible? Like the angriest possible at all. It's like, okay, let's just break everything. Like nothing works. Like you can do things and we're just going to revert them. Like just break it.
I am so angry at this. They've made using it so much harder. And how long the taskbar at the bottom of the screen? You used to be able to get like a button per window or app so you could see what you had. No, that was again. No, why put this information right in front of you where you can see it? No, what we'll do instead is have you hover over the icon for a second, a process which you can't do quicker because it's a thing defined in the OS. And then we'll put up these little windows showing all the open windows you've got. And I hate it so much. And this is the there's no choice now. I could try and be a holdout and stick with Windows 10, but that's only going to last for so long. It's a futile exercise. You've just got to go with it. And here it is. The widgets are awful and pointless. And apart from the widgets and this start menu, I don't know why it exists. Like, why have you made Windows 11? For no reason, there's nothing here that does nothing to me as a user that is in any way better or improved upon from Windows 10. I'm at a loss and angry.
So what I'm hearing is that Windows 11 is Microsoft's iOS 15 mobile Safari experience.
Quite possibly. Yes, we've done this because we can. You didn't ask for it. It isn't better, but we were bored. Sorry. What are we going to do? Go and work on mobile stuff? We're Microsoft. No. Come on. There's only so much word.
They're going to have to support Windows 10 for a long time, though, because my computer only built 6 months ago. Can't go to Windows 11 because it ain't got a TCM. Was it a TCM? A trusted module.
Are you sure? Because most motherboards since sort of, I think, 2015 do have it, but it's off by default. And if it's an AMD-based motherboard, it might be called something else.
Oh, because it's an AMD motherboard here.
Yeah, I've forgotten what it is, and I can't check without going into my BIOS settings, which would hose this, obviously. But yeah, it's not called TPM on AMD chipset boards. It's something else. I'll put it in the Slack.
Of course, it's called Slack, something else.
Yeah. But it is a thing. And yeah, but when Microsoft were like only the latest and the last generation AMD processors would work, I thought I'm fine for a bit and maybe I can justify a processor upgrade now. But
they went and stuck it on. But now it sounds like you can justify an alcohol purchase.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. That's it. Or, you know, I just need to, none of this is better to me as an end user. Nothing here has been made better or easier. And I'm just, I need to know why. I'm never going to find out.
Do you guys remember Takeshi's Castle?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Which explanation kind of reminded me of that. It's like, oh, you have to jump through that and then this throws you off. And like,
that's it. This is the operating system version of Takeshi's Castle.
All right. So did you, any of you see Patrice? You may have, because you lived in the U.S. for a while. Mm-hmm. There was a company that took Takeshi's Castle and dubbed it into English, but they didn't dub what was really happening. Yeah. And it was called Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing was done as a comedy thing, and they would take all the different challenges that the people were doing, make up completely ridiculous names for all the people, completely ridiculous names for the challenges, and then do blow by blow commentary for what was happening. And it was, in my opinion, even better than Takeshi's Castle. It's hosted by Vic Romano and Kenny Blankenship.
I do remember that. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, how old it was, that is like a mid-80s show, by the way. The original, at least.
Yeah. The joke version. That one was from late 90s, early 2000s, I think.
Early 2000s, yeah.
It was wonderful.
It was put on here, and it was dubbed by Craig Charles from Red Dwarf.
Yeah. It's done by that other guy now with the bald head. I can't remember his name.
The bald guy. I know what you mean, yeah.
That narrows it down.
Muller just Crystal. Yeah.
It's called Crystal Maze here, isn't it?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No, that's Crystal Maze.
All right. I thought we had that same.
All right. So, Rich, is there a way to roll back to Windows 10 if you want to?
Yeah, you can delete everything and reinstall Windows 10.
No, you can. Oh, okay. You can roll back. I've seen it on the tech things. You can roll back.
You can. When you go to the option and you go into Windows Update and Windows Insider Program, I'm just looking now. And you go to the Stop Getting Preview Builds, unroll this device immediately. We'll do a clean install of the latest release of Windows 10. This option will erase all your data and install a fresh copy of Windows 10. So yes, there is absolutely a button in the OS to roll it back, and they will blank my system and reinstall.
I don't think 10. Rollback means what they think it means.
No, it's like just delete everything.
So I have to say what. If you roll back, though, if you've got Microsoft's version of iCloud, all your settings are in there anyway, so it all comes back anyway. That happened to me when I reinstalled this one. All my settings, I just put my details in, and the computer came back.
Data and everything.
Everything, yeah.
But I mean, what about your data? Like the
settings? It came back,
sure, but
it was in the it
like
was
all
in
your documents and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they're all saved.
All your applications.
It's just you had to reinstall them, but all set. You had to reinstall everything, all those, but all your data was saved. So when you put your doc, when you re-download all the apps, all the data was there. All my Steam game saves are all saved and everything. It was like I'd never been away.
As soon as you hit, and then you have to reinstall, and whatever it is you say after that, it's no longer a rollback.
Exactly. Yeah. Nope. It's not a it's not a snapshot. Nope.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but at least all my data was saved.
I mean, yes, that there is that, but
yeah,
I don't think that's going to help Rich in this situation.
No.
That's kind of crazy.
I'm not sure I would worse
that. Big thing, like in the middle of your screen, that was so glaringly obvious. Hey, we're about to install the beta of Windows 11 on your computer. That's the big update that's going to take a while.
There is a reason why Apple is doing that differently. For the new operating, I mean, you can be on the beta program and you will get the betas for whatever version you've installed. But if you want to go to the next operating system version, you have to install a new profile. They don't automatically enroll you to now like moderate.
That's true. Yeah. Every time a new OS beta comes out, then I have to replace the beta profile that I had with the new one. So on my iPad that's always running iOS beta or iPad beta, going from iOS 14 point whatever developer beta to iOS 15 developer beta, that was the new profile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's how Microsoft should do it.
Intentional act.
Yeah, because I mean that's like it's fine to update like within the operating system version, go to the betas if you enrolled for that, but don't just upgrade to the next one.
Yeah,
this has not
been. Which, have you heard anybody like? Is that just limited to you, or have other people complained about that?
I don't know. I imagine other people have complained about it, but I haven't really heard anything.
Yeah, a great feature of the new beta is people complaining about the new beta will be filtered out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait, so this podcast will never be released?
Oh, well, you're welcome.
Oops.
Hey! But I take, have you seen my story? I put it with, it's not my story, but it's the story it's related to. It's the TPM modules have already been busted. So Microsoft's insistent you have to use a TPM module and they can be already circumvented.
Yeah, I mean,
it's always I'll find that setting for you in the BIOS and figure out what the TPM thing is. It will probably be in there.
They went through the CMOS chip and just because just monitored went through the chip CMOS chip because the CMOS chip is on the same bus, apparently. Mm. I don't understand it, but that's what they were doing.
So just to make sure I understand this correctly, the TPM chip serves the same purpose as the T1 and T2 chips.
Basically, yes.
But it encrypts the hard drive.
But these chips are already hacked and bypassable.
Yeah, it's not easy apparently, but I mean it is bypassable.
Oh, but do you mean in terms of bypassing system requirements to install Windows?
I mean as in hacking so that the chip is essentially ineffective.
They actually get hold of the laptop or whatever, and actually just literally put some terminals on it. But that's what they did. If you look at the story there, that's what they did.
That's usually with this kind of chips. That's usually what you have to do. But I mean, anything is hackable. It just might take a while. I mean, I remember what was the predecessor to the T2 chips, T1 probably, from Apple, like that. I do remember on the iPhones, like there are generations of iPhones that can be hacked because the secure enclave is not secure. Like old iPhones. But
it
happens. Like it is a problem, but I mean, it's just given enough time, someone will figure it out probably.
Well, and if someone has physical access to the device, then it doesn't matter how secure it is, they have a much higher likelihood of finding a way in.
Yeah, but I mean, that is what these chips are at least part of what they're supposed to prevent. So it's always a problem. I think this one looks a little bit worse. Like you can basically no soldering, nothing. You can just
circumvent pop a couple roach clips on the motherboard and access the hard drive. Nice.
Yeah, wow. That's probably not the best thing then. But I think that's also a little bit of a part of the problem that like everything has to be so modular on PC side. It's hard to integrate security.
So good news, Rich. Not only do you have an operating installed that you didn't intend, and it has an interface that you don't like, but the security features that it claims to provide aren't actually effective.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's all good. I miss my Mac so much. So much.
Yeah, just don't install Windows on your Intel Mac, because that disables all the Mac security features.
God, no.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Patrice, tell us about your stories from Roadshow. Okay, cool.
It's one of many articles about this. I was struggling a little bit to find a good story, technology wise. Some people might be aware, we're not going to go into the politics of it. There's a big infrastructure bill happening in the US, which brings some, I would say, rather nice benefits. Like, I mean, not that it's going to help Rich because he's in the UK, but maybe Jeff, that like he gets better internet and stuff. Roads that actually don't like aren't just completely broken, stuff like that. But one thing that is very interesting and is technology related that I wanted to talk about is there's a, like, as in those bills, usually, like, they're massive bills, like hundreds of pages, and they always sneak in some, like, small, completely unrelated stuff. Like, those bills are like the infrastructure bills, and then there's, like, in there somewhere, oh, I don't know, Jeff can go to a store on a Thursday and get free, free booze. Like, that's a law that's then in there. It has nothing to do with infrastructure whatsoever, but they sneak it in. And one of the things that is at least for now, I think, in there, I mean, who knows, it might get removed, is that they want to mandate technology in cars to prevent drunk driving. So every car, in at least in the US, would have a system that, I don't know how it would work, probably a breathalyzer or something, but it would have to prevent drunk driving. And that I found rather interesting. I mean, from a technology perspective, like having that in every car, and also from a legal perspective, like, does that make sense?
Also,
I mean, I'm against drunk driving, but yeah.
But you're in the country of freedom.
Yeah, and yeah, your air quotes around freedom, completely appropriate.
Yeah.
Would this not put all the responsibility for preventing drunk driving on car manufacturers?
So, that's a really good point.
So, from a legal standpoint, so now if I get in and my car lets me drive, then that's Toyota's fault if I plow into a school bus or whatever.
Oh, that's the next set of lawsuits. That's the next set of lawsuits in the US. Class action against Toyota. Their drunk driving protection doesn't actually work.
Yeah.
What wasn't there some technology, I can't remember where, I don't think it was in the US or in Europe, where you had to blow into a tube, and if you passed the breathalyzer, the car would start.
Yeah, that's a thing that's available in the United States and is mandated as part of criminal sentencing for at least some drunk driving cases, where this device gets added into your car, and there's a little hose there, and you sit down and you have to blow into it, and you have to blow straight zeros, and then it'll turn on.
And if it detects any hint of alcohol, it usually like blocks the car for, I don't know, 24 hours or something.
Yeah. So if you use mouthwash, you have to stop using mouthwash because the sensor doesn't know the difference between mouthwash and booze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mouthwash these days doesn't contain alcohol due to the Muslim population in the UK.
Oh, well then come get your mouthwash here.
Okay.
Okay. Mouthwash is still free. Yeah. Apparently about 30% of all U.S. car crashes resulted fatalities, at least, are based on like drunk driving or caused by drunk driving. So it is a problem. I mean, It's not. Mm-hmm. It's still. It's like they're saying it could save 9,000 lives a year.
I don't feel it's an immediately terrible idea.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think where I'm questioning it is the practicalities of it.
Mm. Well,
because people are holding on to their old cars for longer. I mean, if you've got a car that requires that, just hold on to your old car for a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I suppose this then starts like, well, where do you stop? Can you make a car that will not go over the speed limit?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to happen eventually. Self-driving cars.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that actually was one thing I was thinking about. I'm like, would that just push people to just have self-driving cars because then they don't have to think about it and deal with it?
I think that's ultimately what's going to happen anyway. I mean, if you've got a self-driving car, you can just go out and get shit-faced.
Yeah, you could be completely...
I mean, surely that's part of the point, isn't it? Yeah. Like, you know, who's driving tonight? Yeah. Nobody. Come on. Yeah, that sounds brilliant.
Well, yeah. And a big issue with the systems where you have to blow into them before your car will start is that once your car starts, if you start drinking, it doesn't know.
Yeah, or someone else blows into it.
I was going to say that.
Or someone else blows into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, either direction, either the other person is drunk and then he can't drive, or the other, because they think they're funny.
Or keep a balloon in your car full of your own air.
Yeah. Now, as I said, for me, it was just surprising that something like this would even be an idea.
Well, this idea has come up before in the United States. In this century, and the fact that it's being snuck into this massive infrastructure bill, I guess shouldn't surprise me. And I bet the people that are digging through the text of the bill, they're going to find a lot of other things tucked away in there that have nothing to do with infrastructure. And like you said, that's just what happens with bills
here. Yeah, that's just normal. That happens every year.
Yeah. But, you know, I look at this and on one hand, I'm like, okay, this sounds like a great concept because this will help save lives. And and if it saves my life because I don't get hit by a drunk driver or the life of one of my family members, then it's super valuable. But at the same time, in a country that while we have serious problems actually having freedoms, is all about freedom and privacy, this doesn't fit well with that whole philosophy.
Yeah, and government not overreaching and all of that. Like it, I mean, this must have been someone's pet project. That's usually how that happens. Yeah,
it probably is someone's pet project. I bet you're right. Yeah. And this fits nicely with what another company's doing in the United, or a company's doing in the United States, where they've developed this whole system where you get people, like just civilians, just regular people, to buy into this system, like literally buy into it, like a subscription. And then they put up cameras out in public that just track every car that drives down the street. And then you, as someone that lives in that neighborhood, you can go and check your own account and you see a list of a photo of every single car that's driven down the street with its license plate and the information that's associated with that license plate. And and law enforcement in communities where this is happening, they're actually teaming up with a company that does this to try and convince people to pay for it. And and then of course the local law enforcement just has free access to all of this data about people that are driving around. And it's being presented under the pretext of this will save lives, this will cut down on crime, and which of course this breathalyzer in your car thing is being presented in the same way.
Yeah.
Well, we have ANPR here already. And there's been kickbacks from Muslim areas saying it was being used in their communities more than anyone else. But it actually wasn't. It was actually on the main roads. And it was used during heightened era. It was used in my when I was at the police. And it was used mainly to target people that are involved in crime. It had nothing to do with what religion you followed. It was just basically, has your car got an information report on you were involved in crime? That okay, then it would flag up, and it would flag up to all the police cars in the area, and they would stop you.
Well, but it got that was a government thing. This is not. The government is just going to, the police departments will ride on the coattails of this. This is a private company selling this to private citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's being paid for through your own money, not through taxes. And all of your neighbors have access to all that information as well.
What's that issue with Ring doorbells? They were going to have that neighborhood thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And there are a lot of police departments in the United States mm-hmm. that rely on getting camera information from Ring doorbells.
Yeah. Phoenix Police Department is one of the biggest ones.
Mind you, you have a lot of problems here. People are dumping parcels and getting stolen. With the somebody following the delivery drivers and nicking parcels.
Yeah, it's everywhere. For me, the question is, like, if that actually gets introduced in the US and actually stays there, will other countries follow? Like, do you think the UK will do that as well, though? Simply say, the UK is doing it. Like,
oh, yeah, the UK will do it because it's... And EU will do it. But I think this will get kicked out in the US.
I hope so, yeah.
I hope so, too.
Oh, God. It definitely will.
The legal and political things aside, it just makes no sense from a social and technological perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes life harder for everybody for like a small number of people. And it's not an easy thing to fix. I think it's not an easy. I mean, if someone gets convicted and the breathalyzer is installed. They've done something wrong already. And they get inconvenienced. Sure, that's fine. But mm-hmm. doing that for everybody, not sure.
In the UK, drink driving is now, it's a pariah thing. So while people still do it, if you get caught, you are a pariah. It's like everyone comes down on you. So it's kind of, it's not as prolific as it used to be.
Yeah, I think in the US, it's at least from my experience, very similar. I mean, there might be some groups here and there where that is awesome and they love it. But for most people, like if they say you got a DUI, it's like,
Typically it's seen as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So Patrice, before we move on, you brought up something that I hadn't thought about yet, but the implications are really bad, and you said you were talking about someone blows into the little breathalyzer mm-hmm. in their car and they get convicted of a DUI later on. That data that's being collected when you blow into the little breathalyzer in your car, it's being saved and stored. So so now can you by the simple act of trying to turn on your car be providing evidence for the state
of attempt?
And then how is that data collected?
Mm-hmm.
And then how is it shared with law enforcement? I mean, is it stored just on the box and now they have to get a warrant and impound your car so that they can plug into the box and get the data? Is it transmitted wirelessly somewhere? Mm-hmm. Who else could potentially get access to that data?
Good point.
Well, actually, in the UK, young drivers, their insurance is extremely high, so they can actually opt to have a box put in their car, which monitors their driving, and that reports back to the insurance company. So if they speed or do a little bit of that, or have a brake suddenly, it can increase their insurance premiums. So it's only one step further that really from that, isn't it? I mean, because you can actually opt to have these boxes put in your cars to have cheaper insurance. One of the big insurance companies here, Aviva, do them, and I think a few others do as well. It's particularly aimed at young drivers.
Yeah, I don't need my insurance premiums to go up that much. Keep the box.
Same thing is available through a lot of insurance companies here. Some insurance companies require it, and I just simply would never use an insurance company that required me to put a box like that in my car. And let's say I'm driving down a residential street, like I often do here in Boulder, and all of a sudden a child or a dog darts out in front of me. So I hit my brakes hard. I don't hit the kid. And now my insurance goes up because I'm an erratic driver.
Yeah.
And, exactly. And my insurance company, just like everyone else, they have no business in knowing that much about what I'm doing on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
We talked more about this than I thought.
Yeah, we did. All right, Mueller, what's your story?
It's already in.
Oh, I see it now. Engadget. The Engadget story.
Yeah.
The Pentagon. Oh, my God. The precog story.
Yeah.
Pentagon believes it can basically predict incidents of threat towards the U.S. or probably its friends as well, before they actually happen, days in advance. This sounds terrible, to be honest. I mean, they literally could monitor enemy ships or ships, say, from, Russia, leaving port, and then can monitor them and predict where they're going and predict if they're going to cause any mischief. So this is actually quite frightening, and you could actually this is the start of Terminator, some the start of World War III by some computer deciding that somebody else has done something that could be that's my take from this, and it's a red flag, and it's quite frightening. What's
wait until the AI decides that human beings are just like too dangerous and just eradicates us all.
That's what I'm saying.
It is only a matter of time.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, yeah, this is a combination of Minority Report and Terminator,
And the 100.
And the 100, yes. Yep.
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, on the one hand, I can totally see that working because I mean, it requires data access that is insane. But I mean, I'm assuming the US government already has that. But from that point on, I mean, machine learning can, I mean, they, in the past, we've had human beings do that. Like they would watch like troop movements and satellite imagery and whatever, like whatever data was available, and see what the other side was doing, or like trying to predict what they were doing, trying to guess what they were doing, and then making decisions based on it. So this is not crazy. Like this has been happening for probably thousands of years.
That's
not
that's
on the same technology level, but like it has happened. It's probably even better at that than we are.
It does remind me of that Russian sub captain that could have launched his missiles, but he decided not to. Remember that story?
AI would have not done that. AI would have just launched.
Yeah, you're German.
I would have just launched the missile because not I would have launched, the AI would have launched it.
Well, he basically decided not to launch them, and he probably saved the world. And everyone says he saved the world because everything was telling him to launch his missiles. He's going, no, I won't. Something's wrong here. And we definitely need some controls here.
Yeah, that's the risk. Like, as I said, I think AI is probably better at predicting it in general, but that doesn't mean that it can't go wrong. Like, humans can go wrong.
I feel like we're reaching a point where fully automated war could just happen around us. If you have one side that is using AI to monitor another side, and they're sending up maybe, like, it decides there's a threat coming, let's send up some automated drones, and they go and bomb something that is in itself an automated boat that's got no one in it. And are we just going to reach a point where we're all just sitting here and there's fighter planes and warships and they're all just fighting each other and we're just sending them off there?
There's a reason why the nuclear arsenal, I think, around the world, like at least as far as I'm aware of, is still very much low tech and very much based on human beings, which has some downsides because it also means like a human being might decide to do something that they shouldn't do. But can it I has just the say upside that nothing that it's not automated, that someone has. I mean, one, it's hard to hack it, and someone has still a couple human beings have to make a decision to do it. It's not automated.
Yeah, but the U.S. entrusted Trump with that button once.
Yeah, that's the
point. I'm just saying.
I gotta go start drinking right now.
And at the moment, we've got Boris Johnson, who might have a finger half on it, with Biden on the other half. So let's not sleep well yet.
No, but as I said, that's the thing. That is a pretty deliberate decision. I mean, we know that. It's a deliberate decision to be low-tech because all of that could be automated. Like, that could have been automated probably 20 years ago.
Oh, I'm sure it could have.
Someone presses a button and just everything blows up. That could have been automated. Like, if the US system detects a rocket from Russia, like Cold War, it automatically shoots back. That could have been automated like decades ago, I'm pretty sure. And it was a deliberate decision not to do it.
Well, that was what the Russians said. The Russian system said there's a launch on America. That's why he said, no, it's got to be a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, because the human being was still in there and said, okay, there's something fishy here. Something doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but the human Russian crisis would have led to a full-on nuclear war if it was left up to the machines. To decide what was going to happen. But there were people involved and they're like, hold on, everyone step back and let's actually really look and see what's going on here. And that's why we're not dead.
I've got a radical idea.
You've just got to learn the lessons of the movie War Games. And playing nuts and crosses with it. That will confuse it. Yeah. They don't know yet. They've forgotten that that's the flaw of this system.
I've definitely got a radical idea. Get rid of all the nuclear weapons. No one has them. Jesus. End of. But that's radical.
I know that's radical. The sad truth is we will just find something else.
That's true. Yeah. If it's not the nuclear weapons, it's going to be something else. Which is actually
laser.
Really sad.
Lasers. Giant lasers, space lasers.
Jewish space lasers. Wait, or these miniature drones I've been reading about. Them look frightening.
Yeah, have a billion drones and just everything with a little explosion. Right?
But don't worry. The UK's put these rumbas upstairs so they can suck them all up for you.
Okay.
All right. Well, as long as we're on this happy, uplifting string of stories, I'll add mine in. Mine comes from Mac Rumors, but that's because you need an account to log in to the information and see the original story. WhatsApp is... probably going to be a little less private before too long. And that's because Facebook is researching how they can mine the contents of our private encrypted conversations without actually decrypting those conversations so that they can target us with appropriate ads, which to me sounds a lot like we have to decrypt the messages.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, once you have done that, then like, what's the point of the encryption? Because you can like you know what's in there.
Right. Yes. Even if you're saying, well, we didn't technically decrypt them, if they have gotten to a point where they can figure out enough of what's in your messages to be able to give you targeted ads, then that's the same as not being encrypted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, having written a master thesis on like at least an encryption related topic, doesn't surprise me that Facebook, I mean, one, it doesn't surprise me Facebook is working on this because Facebook.
Right.
Two, I know it might be possible, or at least some data might be glanceable, like by the pattern you communicate and stuff like that. Like without decrypting, I think there are, I mean, that's when you work with like fully anonymized networks like Tor and some others. That's one of the concerns there, that even if you don't know what the message is, you can still get some information by like how it was relayed, who's like all of that. Like there's still stuff to get some metadata, at least to get from the message itself, the way it was communicated. So yeah, not surprised. But it's Facebook, so.
But yeah, and it's Facebook. And if they see a place where they can potentially monetize us, then they're going to find a way to get into that and monetize us.
Yeah. But I mean, essentially, they're going to have to, I mean, essentially, it's going to mean that you break encryption because, yeah, the second you can get information from it, it's not encrypted. It's not really encrypted anymore.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't they just put some non-targeted ads on it and be happy with that?
They could, but where's the fun in that?
Yeah, there's more money to be made, so why leave it there? They aren't Nintendo.
Jeff. All I'll say, Jeff, is you've seen the messages I send you on Messenger. They're similar to the messages I send on WhatsApp. So what they're going to gain from that?
Yeah, well...
Some things are just not meant to be unencrypted.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some things should just stay encrypted.
I don't care, really. I mean, they're quite stupid. That's all.
I know you don't care, but these people have to go through counseling when they discover these things. So,
Yeah, there is that.
They see a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, certainly Jeff has.
Oh, boy, howdy. Yeah. So the argument that I've seen come up a few times is, look, I don't have anything to hide. I'm not doing anything bad in my conversations. Why is this a big deal? And to me, it's like saying, you know, why would it be a big deal if the police come into my house and go to my dresser and go through my underwear drawer? All they're going to find is underwear and socks. So I'm not hiding anything. I'm not doing anything wrong. What's the big deal? And the big deal is you should have a reasonable expectation of privacy. And when a product is presented to you in such a way that that it not only implies, but implicitly states that you're getting some level of privacy because of its encryption, doing something to circumvent that for the purpose of giving you ads is a problem.
Yeah.
You are losing that expectation of privacy. It doesn't matter if you've done anything wrong or not, that privacy is still supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Is this going to just drive more traffic other things like Signal and other apps like that?
I don't think it would, because I think that people who are already interested in that level of security are already using Signal and Telegram, and the rest of us are just using WhatsApp because it's just what other people are using.
It might drive some people over that so far haven't switched, because you know, sometimes sometimes all it needs is something like this for a group of people to decide to do it that otherwise we're just too lazy to. And it's just like a herd thing, like all of a sudden. They need a pain point or a reason or something that all of a sudden gets discussed in the press and then enough people move. But it's not going to make a major difference.
I wouldn't send private information over there anyway. Most of the stuff I send over there are jokes. Can I see in the pub later on? What time are we doing at the pub?
Yeah, but what is private information? That is a question. I mean, see you in the pub later on could be used against you. I mean, not by a government, but by some other bad actor. I mean, if I know that you're in the pub later on, I can, and maybe you even send which pub, because you said see me at pub XYZ, like see me at Ewan's pub, whatever. Then I can wait there for you, because I know that you will be there. So
put him up.
Yeah, there is some risk, and as I said, for a messenger like that, like if I put something on Facebook on the public profile, I have zero expectation of privacy. Personally, I would say no matter what I put on Facebook, I have no expectation of privacy, but that's me. Because I know Facebook.
So you're saying Zuckerberg's going to fly over from America to meet you at the pub? Yeah. To beat me maybe. Up?
Maybe, okay. Yeah. You don't know.
Yes.
Very likely. It's going to happen. He didn't like your jokes. That's why. As I said, like what is private and what isn't private is very difficult to decide and is very personal. And you never know what could be used against you in the future. Like I'm pretty sure I've said in a WhatsApp chat something negative about Trump. Who's to say that in the future that's not going to be a problem for me?
Well, I've said that stuff on Facebook, so I'm even worse.
Yeah, so
And things
can change.
That's broadcasted.
Things can change. Look to China. Things can change. The things you said in the past, I mean, even in the US, like things you said on Twitter 10 years ago can come back to haunt you if you were stupid. But it can happen. It has happened.
But yeah,
I said, that's true. Twitter is a different story because Twitter is usually public, but as an example. But then in China, that has happened.
Yeah. So,
I'm cheered up now.
I haven't given a random apology recently. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ewan. I'm sorry. All right. Wow. So we just ran through a whole string of uplifting and happy stories. every single one of them. Wow. Hey, this show and all the others is sponsored by TSO Hosts. And we are so glad that they are here because without them, we wouldn't be able to bring you the happy-go-lucky stories that we bring to you every week, just like we did today. They make sure we have the bandwidth that we need so that we can stream out to you. They make sure that we have the storage space on the servers that we need so that the shows can be recorded so that you can go and check them out later if you can't tune in live. And without them, we literally wouldn't be here. So we are so happy that TSO Host is here taking care of us. If you need to have hosting, if you need a new domain, hit them up. And because you're a BTN fan, you can get a discount. And I just forgot what the discount was. I think it's BTN 20.
Mm-hmm.
BTN 20. There you go. Use that and get yourself a nice little discount. Also, take to your favorite social media and give them a shout out, because that's what they're looking for, to know that everyone that's a BTN fan appreciates that they're here helping us. So everyone needs validation, including TSO host. So hit your social medias, let them know that you appreciate them being here for us. Give them a thank you, give them a shout out, and that will be awesome. We are also sponsored by iMedMax, and they are awesome because instead of just like gutting your Apple device and replacing everything because the USB port doesn't work, they will find the component that has failed and replace just that. That means that you get your device back. You don't have to start over with your shell on a new thing and start from scratch. It also keeps more waste out of landfills, which is absolutely awesome. And they're really cool people. And Callum hopefully will be here with us on the Mac Show tomorrow, and he'll tell us about whatever device deals of the week they have. So hit them up and let them know that you heard about them through British Tech Network, and you'll get a discount. Also, if you need to buy or lease any Apple gear, they will take care of you because they've got all that going on. They'll even do data recovery. And if they get your drive or device and they look at it and tell you that they can't actually recover any data from it, they're not going to charge you for that, which is really nice because a lot of places you have to pay just to have them look at the device, regardless of whether or not they can actually recover any data. So they're just awesome people all the way around. So thank you to TSO hosts. Thank you to iMedMax for being here. Also, the Daily Show, that needs a cash infusion because we have to pay to make that show happen every single day. And we are running low on funds for that. And when we run out, that means the show just ends. So pretend like you're going to your favorite coffee shop and you're about to buy a really nice drink, but instead of being at the coffee shop, you're on the British Tech Network website. And you're clicking the link where you can donate some money. So $5, £5, $50, £50, euros, throw some money our way so that the show can stay on the air. And, hey, as they say in the United States, think of it like just giving up one coffee and that's it. So, okay. We have made it through happy, exciting stories. We've talked about our hosts, and before we hit the cool things, Patrice, as usual, can you please help me out with where people can find the links and the comments for today's show?
I can. It's relatively easy. You take your browser of choice, whatever it is, does not matter. Might even work on Netscape 1.0. I don't know. I haven't tried it recently. head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to what is today, the 5th of August, 2021. And there you will find all the lovely comments and all the links and everything we talked about. Like the comment from Bob Beach, who asked us whether we talked about someone moving to Manchester City. Which, no, because the only person who would ever talk about soccer or football is Doc, and he's not here. So we don't talk about stuff like that.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So onto the cool things. Rich, what do you have for us this week? And I bet it's Windows 11.
It's not.
So not. No. Oh, you've reminded me about it. I'm angry again now. I'm just going to go with a new internet because that's my thing I'm excited about right now. I've finally got my bigger internet. I know it's not the best internet there is out there, but 200 megabit for me is quite astounding. Nice. And I'm very chuffed with that. Mm-hmm. But I will say, if you're going to, a little tip that I found, I went to the comparison website, Compare the Market, here in the UK. It's kind of irrelevant for everyone else, I suppose. I managed
not
to get
compare the Meerkat.
Well, same people, yeah. Yeah. And so managed to get a cheaper deal because I compared it. So I would recommend if you're looking for new internet, doing a comparison, and you might get a cheaper deal because it worked out for the best. But apart from that, I don't know. It's a nice fast internet. I tried Google Stadia on it, by the way, because now 4 times the speed of my own connection. Is Google Stadia playable? No.
No.
Don't bother with that. Honestly,
might not be the connection.
No, I'm kind of a bit stunned at how I've only got one game for it, which is Far Cry New Dawn, I think. And I had a quick go on that. It was unplayable. The lag is just, yeah, useless. So even with a 200 megabit internet connection, I'm still not going to bother with Google Stadia. I don't know how fast it would need to be, but that's the thing.
Faster.
Clearly.
What's your ping at the moment?
Like 10 milliseconds or something like that. The ping is so...
I think you need to go on a wired connection. That's your Wi-Fi.
What? Let's see what.
Well, I get less than 5, and I'm on Virgin as well.
I might run what it is. Difficult though to run wires all through the house like that. I've got a 10 millisecond ping.
You don't have 20. To. Just get one of those.
On my last connection.
Have you got mains up there? Just put one of those mains things in, and then just get a box.
I've tried
that
before.
That's not going to get you better than Wi-Fi bandwidth. If you want to get better than Wi-Fi bandwidth, you need to go like proper Ethernet cable, like Cat6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I use PowerNet. What's it called? PowerNet or what it's called?
Power over Ethernet.
Yeah, and it's great. I get more than I need.
Never mind. It's power line. Power over Ethernet is the
power line.
Power over Ethernet would be if you run a device over, run the power over Ethernet.
I bought the best one I could, and I've got one of those little boxes that splits it all out, and it powers everything in this room. Well, all the computers anyway, and it's fine. Just get that.
I still think I might need a new Wi-Fi card in my computer though.
I've got one you can buy.
What model I've got? It can't be. I mean, it's only like 3 years old as a PC. It can't be that bad. But I can't find it online. Anyway,
well, let me know. I've got one in my spares drawer over there. You can have. And it cost me £70. Just let me know. You can have it for the. You can have it for the postage.
Oh, I'll let you know. Cheers.
Yeah, just let me know. You can have it for the postage. I'm not using it.
Cool. I don't even know what I've got. I need to find out what.
Welcome to the British Tech Network swap meet.
Yeah.
Well, if he pays the postage, you can have it.
Cool.
All right, Patrice, what do you have?
I'm going to pick something that I've picked in the past, and I could even tell you exactly when because of a note with all my picks from the past in IA Writer, which is my note taking and writing app. And I've been using this for quite a while, like a couple of years. I switched like 2 years ago or something. What I really like about IA Writer is, one, it has a super solid iCloud sync and it's files. So I can, even if I don't have IA Writer somewhere, I can literally just go into my iCloud drive and there's the text file. It does not mess up Markdown, which some other apps do. So I'm like editing a lot of Markdown files, and some of them even have like some code in it and whatever. It's not touched. It's super minimal, but it works great. It's fast. It's easy to use. It just works, and it works across all my devices. It's not exactly cheap for an editor. It's like $30 per platform, basically. So 30 for iOS and iPadOS and 30 for the Mac. But but there are some discounts available every now and then, so have a look for that. And it's absolutely worth it. It's a great, simply a great writing. As I said, I use it for notes, like for at work. I have folders for like my work stuff. I have all the work notes. I have one for BTN. We have all the show notes and all of that. I just have I have books in there. I'm writing on actually 2 books in parallel. Like probably gonna finish in, I don't know, 2060 or something at this speed at least, but I'm like, I can do anything. It is Bob Beach. Actually, Ulysses is the one that I switched from. It is, in my opinion, better than Ulysses because Ulysses messes up my markdown file.
I was a hardcore AI writer user for a long time. And this was years ago. And the only reason I switched at the time, and I know this is not an issue anymore, but, you know, momentum, and I ended up in Ulysses instead, and I just haven't moved back. At the time, IA Writer had a problem with synchronizing your content, and so there would be times where I would write like a whole article on my iPad, and then I'd go to my Mac later on, it's not there. But now my Mac overwrites everything from the iPad and I've lost the article. But that was a long time ago. And I know that's not an issue anymore. So if actually, momentum iCloud wasn't a thing, that. I would be back on IA Writer right now.
Yeah, iCloud handles that. That has happened to me, but it was actually iCloud's fault because iCloud was completely hanging on my Mac. Like it wasn't synchronizing anything. It wasn't even like showing the file that I had edited. But iCloud actually just detected that there were two concurrent changes and like let me know. So iCloud actually handles that. As I said, the big benefit is if I ever wanted to switch something to something else, it's a folder. Who cares?
Right.
I can even pull in, like I have, for example, for some websites, like I have websites that are written completely in Markdown and I literally just have the folder from that website folder, from that website project in my IA Writer on the Mac. Obviously, that one then doesn't sync because it's not on iCloud, but like for even local editing, it works great.
It's an awesome application.
Yep.
Okay. Awesome pick. And Muller, you, what's your cool thing?
Mine's Audible, and it's a book by the makers of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Sarah not Gilbert and pardon?
I said not read by Rich.
Rich has gone.
yeah, that too, yeah.
Sarah Gilbert and Catherine Green, who that's the narrators. Who's it? Sarah Green and it's Sarah Gilbert and Catherine Green who developed the AstraZeneca vaccine. They started off as obviously a small research project that got took over by AstraZeneca. And it actually talks about the development of the vaccine, the political interference from Trump, Fauci even, Macron, the EU, even Boris Johnson, the amount of shite they went through and the mental torture they went through to produce this vaccine that's probably one of the big vaccines in the world that's helping us get through what we're going for the moment. And to be honest with you, these two women, they literally are my heroes. And that's all I want to say about them. But listen to this book because it goes through what they went through, the sacrifices they went through, both personal, professional, and the amount of shite they had from the media and from government departments, and it's absolutely disgraceful how they're treated.
Rich, so much for your 200 megabits.
Yeah, I know. I'm so like it's so good. It keeps dropping.
Yeah, it's just too fast for your computer.
It's so that's fast. Probably the bits problem. Just fly out.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's too fast for Windows 11.
I hope this isn't the next 18 months of my life. Please, this needs to. Oh God!
Well, I'm on Virgin. I'll get no issues. I mean, well, yeah. I do occasionally, but they sort them out after I moan at them.
I'll figure it out. I'll figure it. It's only day one. Don't worry. It's probably router settings. It'll be fine. Fine.
Yeah, the router's I'm really positive. Simple. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I said? Get a power line plug. I can recommend one to you that I use.
I'm good for signal. It's something to do with my PC. If I run a speed test on my phone, I get full speed of the Wi-Fi.
It's probably something else. Yeah. So it's Windows 11.
It's Windows 11.
Yeah.
It could be, actually, because it's only a beta.
You never know what they messed up.
Could well be. Could well be. But yeah, I think
Bobby's just saying get a mech.
I would. Look, you don't need to convince me. I know. I'm a Mac guy. This is my first PC in 20 years. And
then you get Windows 11.
And then I get Windows 11. I know. I just wanted to play games. I thought I could go on Twitch, okay? That was why. That was why.
Yeah. Valid reason.
I mean, it's a reasonable expectation. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you just have to play Fortnite for 8 hours a day and you realize it's not a good idea. Don't do Twitch. Don't do Twitch.
All right. So my pick this week is a set of speaker stands for my desk. And it's the Gator Frameworks desktop clamp-on studio monitor stands. And these are great because they do for me what I want for so much of the stuff that I need on my computer desk, which is to get it off the desk and free up space for other stuff, you know, like my graphics tablet and all those other little things that are going to take up the space. So that's why my studio lights are clamped on and sitting up here and not actually sitting on the desk. And now my speakers are up off the desk as well. And it opened up a lot of space. So these things are really solid, really, really stable. And they're designed so that you don't have to rely on just friction to keep the stands at the right height. They have a pin that actually goes through the post to hold them at whatever height they're going to sit at. And then you do the twisty thing to clamp them down so they don't move at all. And setting them up only took a few minutes. It actually took longer to get the wires from my speakers moved so that I had enough line to pop these up higher. And they're absolutely fantastic. I'm very happy with them. $99. And if you'd rather have them where they just sit on your desk, which for me defeats the purpose, those are $75.
So £100, £50 each for the clamps.
Totally worth it. They're solid and they hold a lot of weight too, which is good because
must be big speakers.
It's still it's
Audio Engine A5. They are not lightweight speakers.
Still not $1,000 monitor stand. So
and it's still not $1,000 monitor stand. So yep. My lights are on stands, my speakers are on stands, my display is on a arm as well. So that the only stuff that's actually physically sitting on the desk, my computer, Wacom tablet. Just a couple things.
Oh, Bob's put a link in. They're cheaper in the UK.
Of course they are.
Not by much. Never
happened. All right. Well, Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Barking or on YouTube on Early Morning Barking. On a website, earlymorningbarking.com. And Instagram, Early Morning Barking. Type Early Morning Barking into stuff. It's probably me.
Awesome. All right, Patrice, where can people find you?
I don't bark in the mornings, but you can find me. You can find me every week here on The Big Show, also tomorrow and every Friday on The Big Show. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links and whatnot, on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to very interesting people about food and just food-related memories.
Awesome. All right, Muller, where can people find you?
At the back of my house, looking for those dog-sized deer running through the undergrowth and looking for the hedgehogs. Over that on Slack or on Muller Biker on Twitter.
All right. And
you need to apologize again there.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Okay, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut on both, and I on YouTube, youtube.com/JayGamut on most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live. Here on Thursdays on The Big Show, Fridays on The Mac Show. Tonight, U.S. time, I will be on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. So that'll be a lot of fun. And I get around. So a quick Google search will show me on a lot of different shows. All right. So Ewan will be back with us next week, unless he ends up with another project that keeps him sitting in the mobile command center instead of with us. So we're looking forward to having him back. Hey, thanks all three of you for being here. Even though we all chose dark stories, I had a lot of fun. So this is absolutely awesome. And I look forward to my Thursday mornings. I guess Thursday afternoons and Friday mornings with all of you. This is an absolute blast. So thank you to all of you. And thank you to everyone that's tuning in and in the chat room. And thanks to all of you that either watch or listen to the shows later. All of you absolutely rock. And I'm looking forward to being back here with all of you again next week. So it's just awesome. All right, everyone have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you again next week.